Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal. It is Monday. I hope the week, wherever you are watching or listening to this around the world, has started well enough for you. A big, big week, of course, for Arsenal. Every week at the moment is big. But yeah, huge week. Two big, big London derbies. Chelsea tomorrow night at the Emirates. And then, of course, the North London derby on Sunday. It doesn't get much bigger than that. So plenty to discuss today. We're going to focus on the Chelsea game, of course. We're going to look at who potentially could start this game. As always, for Mikel Arteta, ahead of the game in his run-in, there's some big, big decisions for him to make when it comes to his starting 11. So we'll go over some of that. We've got some comments from you guys in terms of that game. We'll look at a mad, mad day in English football yesterday. Absolutely crazy, from the FA Cup semi-final to what happened at with Nottingham Forest and Everton. It was just quite remarkable. Well, certainly what happened afterwards anyway. Liverpool winning at Fulham. So yeah, lots to talk about today. But we'll start with that big, big game at the Emirates tomorrow in terms of Arsenal versus Chelsea and the big questions facing Mikel Arteta. You know, who will start this game? We've had lots of talk about rotation, lots of talk about fatigue. Arsenal have been so, so busy in the last couple of weeks and they've got that game against Spurs on Sunday. So what is Mikel Arteta going to do tomorrow when it comes to his starting 11? If you're watching on screen right now, you can see the starting 11 that started the game against Wolves on Saturday night. So it was, of course, David Raya, the defence with Ben White, Saliba, Gabriel and Kivior. And then you had Odegaard, Rice and Havertz in the midfield and then Saka, Jesus and Trossard up front. So what changes could you possibly make from that team, given you've got the North London derby coming up on Sunday as well? I think there's some big decisions for Mikel Arteta. What do you do? Trossard obviously scored the winning goal against... Well, not the winning goal. He scored the very crucial goal. Obviously, Martin Odegaard scored right in injury time to get the second. But Trossard's goal, absolutely crucial. So do you stick with Trossard on the left? Do you bring Gabriel Martinelli back in? Kai Havertz played in that left eight role, of course, which meant Gabriel Jesus started as a number nine. Do you restore Kai Havertz up front for the Chelsea game and bolster in that midfield? You've got Jorginho, you've got Thomas Partey, of course. Lots of decisions for Mikel Arteta to make when it comes to the lineup. Nostradamus has got in touch here and says, morning, Charles. For tomorrow's game, who would you rather start alongside Declan Rice and why? I was really thinking about this before I started recording this video. And I still haven't really come up with an answer that I'm absolutely 100% sure of. I think I would go for Thomas Partey in this game. We've seen him start one match, obviously, and that was the who was it? It was Luton, wasn't it? And I thought he did pretty well in that start. I haven't liked what I've seen from Thomas when he's come off the bench recently. He did make a big impact, not so much of his play against Wolves, but I thought him being there certainly freed up Declan Rice to just produce a monstrous final 15 minutes. And that got me thinking, As much as I think Thomas has looked very, very rusty when it comes to his passing and his movement and everything since he's come back into the, not into the team, but he's come back into the reckoning post-injury. What I saw from Declan Rice with Thomas playing behind him in that last 15 minutes of Wolves, I thought, oh, that's really interesting. You know, is that where you, how you get the absolute best out of Declan by playing Thomas there? And I think I'd probably rather, instead of throwing, given how rusty I think Thomas Partey has looked since he's come on, since he's come back from injury, I think I'd rather him from the start, where you sort of adjust to the timings of the game and the pace of the game from the start, rather than being thrown into it in the second half when it's all a bit sort of mad and, you know, teams are potentially chasing the game, that sort of thing. And you're throwing a player in who's not really up to rhythm, up to speed just yet. Maybe that makes it look more apparent. But if you start him and he gets adjusted to the pace of the game early on, like he did against Luton, because I thought he had a good first 45 minutes in that game, then that's the better thing to do. Obviously, Jorginho, I think, is ahead of Thomas Partey in the pecking order, certainly Mikel Arteta's thinking right now. But I think he'll want to play Jorginho against Spurs on Sunday. I'm pretty sure he will. So I look at the Chelsea game tomorrow at home, a game you would expect, you know, it's going to be a difficult game. Chelsea are not a terrible team. They play some decent football now. We saw that in the FA Cup semi-final. They just couldn't finish. If they could finish on that day, they would have beaten Manchester City. I thought they were a better team, Chelsea. So it's not going to be an easy game by any means. But Arsenal are at home. You'd think they'll look to dictate a lot of the play. So I think I'll be playing Thomas Partey in that game, mainly because I think he's probably going to want to play Jorginho against Spurs. There is a big gap. Of course, I think 5 days, you know, we talk about fatigue, we talk about the sort of hectic fixture schedule, and it has been. But once Arsenal get Chelsea out the way on Tuesday night, they don't play again till Sunday. That is a big gap. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if Mikel gives him a day off, certainly on the Wednesday, at least, and to prepare for that Spurs game. So, yeah, it's an interesting one, Nostradamus. I think I would say Declan. I think I would go for Thomas Partey for the reasons I've given. But please do let me know what you guys think. You know, what would you be doing when it comes to the midfield tomorrow night against Chelsea? Let me know in the comments below. I will be doing a preview show in the morning tomorrow, and I'd love to get your thoughts on the starting 11s you'd want to see, you know, and sort of explanations in terms of why you want to see. And I'll pull a lot of those together, as I always do, and get them included in tomorrow's show. Another big decision he's got to make is at left back. I think Kivior played against Wolves, had a difficult time of it in the first half an hour. I thought really, really struggled, so much so that I thought Mikel might actually bring him off. I thought he was struggling so much. But to Kivior's credit, he stayed on. I thought he really grew into the game. He shook off that disappointing opening half an hour. And I thought he had a good final sort of hour of the game. But I still don't, I wouldn't be at all surprised if he doesn't play on Tuesday night against Chelsea. I think Zinchenko might well come in. You've got the Tomiyasu issue as well. Actually, there's a comment here from Banks, which I've put on the screen. It says, Charles, why do you gloss over Tomiyasu injury so quickly? When fans suggest selling him because he's never fit, you always tell us we are out of our minds and he's incredible and you would never sell him. So why not keep the same energy when he's injured for the umpteenth time this season? Now that he's injured, you quickly mention it and move on. Why not speak on it properly? You're always so loud when it's suggested we sell him, but so quiet when he gets injured. It lacks credibility. I'll tell you why I was so fast to gloss over it yesterday. It was because I had it in the end of my slides and I was already up to about 20 minutes by the time I got to Tomiyasu, and I wanted to get some of your questions and comments in. And I was well aware I was already up to the 20-minute mark, so I didn't spend too much time talking about it. That was it, I have to say. Why do I gloss over it? Well, I don't gloss over it. I think I'm as frustrated as anyone that Tomiyasu picked up another injury. But I still think, largely on the whole, that he absolutely warranted a new contract. And look, he's not on huge amounts of money, Tomiyasu, even with this new contract. It wasn't a long contract. I haven't given him a 5-year deal or anything like that. They've certainly taken the injuries into account when they've given this contract. And I still think, given his versatility, given his quality when he plays, when he can play right back, centre back, left back, yes, he's got injury issues. I don't think they're going to go away because, as we always say, you know, previous injuries are the best predictors of future injuries. And I can't really see it changing when it comes to Tomiyasu. But I still think he gives you enough during the season and enough cover in different positions, quality cover in different positions, that he's worth keeping around on, you know, not huge amounts of money and not tied into a really long-term contract. So that's still my view on it. But yeah, when it comes to glossing over it so quickly yesterday, it was purely a timing issue and that was it. Look, if Tomiyasu's fit, and it is a big if, it doesn't sound like, and the message we got from Arsenal was it wasn't a bad injury and it was more of a, you know, it swelled up a little bit. So it was an impact injury against Bayern. And if that is the case, then hopefully he's not going to be out for too long. And who knows, he could even be back for tomorrow. I doubt it, but he could. you know, personally, if Tomiyasu's fit, or if there's a chance of Tomiyasu being fit for the Wolves game, for the Spurs game at the weekend, then Tommy plays in that Spurs game, and you just protect him this week until that Spurs game, because I want to see him playing against Spurs with the threats they have out wide, the pace they have out wide in Son or Brendan Johnson or Timo Werner, players like that. You know, that their threat comes down the flanks, Tottenham, and because of that, I want Tomiyasu playing if he's fit. So I'd be laser focused on that game when it comes to getting Tomiyasu fit. So I wouldn't play him on Tuesday night against Chelsea. So I think it's either Zinchenko or Kivior. It wouldn't surprise me if he goes with Zinchenko for this game. Wouldn't surprise me at all. So we'll have to wait and see. But I think it's a big decision to make there. Kivior, as I said, he impressed me with the way he bounced back from that difficult spell. And, you know, he's going to have a couple of difficult moments playing at left back because he's not a left back. Largely on the whole, he's done very, very well filling in there this season. There's been a couple of tough games, Fulham away at Craven Cottage, for example, again, the Wolves game. But he's come through them very well and he's, you know, been a really crucial player in the second half of the season for Arsenal. So, yeah, Zinchenko or Kivior on Tuesday night with an eye on getting Tomiyasu ready, 100% ready for Spurs. That's my that's what I'd be going for when it comes to left back. And I'd be moving Kai Havertz up front, I have to admit, for this game. Whether that means playing Jesus out wide, I don't know. Personally not. I'd probably have him on the bench. I'd stick with Trossard. I think he deserves to keep his place in the team in this game after scoring that goal he did against Wolves. And there's no point in even really discussing Saka because he's going to play. You know, yes, he's not been in the greatest of form recently, although I thought he came into it in the second half against Wolves, but he's going to play. We know he's going to play. So I think the main decisions Mikel's got to make, it comes to, as usual, really, it's left back and it's in midfield, and then it's what you do as a central striker. But let me know your thoughts on all of those positions and what you would want to see against Chelsea at the weekend. Tuesday night.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns. Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Could well potentially be a big, big night for Jurrien Timber tonight. Arsenal under-21s playing at Blackburn in a Premier League 2, and it could well be the return, finally, of Jurrien Timber for the first time in competitive action for an Arsenal team since that injury on the opening day of the season against Nottingham Forest, it was, wasn't it? So Mikel said he's going to play for the under-21s. It looks like he's going to be involved tonight. If he does, I imagine he'll probably get 45 minutes, but it's certainly going to be a lot of attention put on that game. Arsenal fans are going to be really interested to see how Timber does in that game. You know, he's been training for a long, long time now, full training, joining in everything when it comes to the first team. He just needs to start building up some match minutes and some match fitness now before Mikel Arteta considers bringing him in for the first team. So he'll play tonight, probably, and then potentially get another couple of games, or maybe, you know, try and get him up to an hour. And, you know, and I think Mikel said in his press conference last week, there was also going to potentially sort of arrange a bit of a behind closed doors game for him as well. So we're getting very, very close for Jurrien Timber. If he does play tonight, which we hope he does, which all signs point him to, he is going to play tonight, then I really hope it goes well. Good luck to Jurrien. And yeah, great to see him potentially back out there for Arsenal. Okay, moving on to yesterday's events. Big night, big day for Liverpool in the Premier League. You know, all eyes on them after recent results, and fair play to them. It was a good win at Fulham. I wish Arsenal had won at Fulham earlier on this season. But yeah, Liverpool 1-1 at half-time. You thought with that Castagna goal right on half-time, would that knock the stuffing out of Liverpool a little bit? But they showed a lot of fight in that second half, got the goals through Gravenberch and Diego Jota. Such a good player, Diego Jota. Really fantastic player. And they won 3-1. So they moved back level on points with Arsenal. And it's just both teams 1 point ahead of Manchester City. Arsenal, of course, with the opportunity to move 4 points clear of City. I think Liverpool got Everton, haven't they? I haven't actually looked. Let me just see this. Sorry, apologies. You're probably going to hear me type in now. I'm just looking at when the Everton versus Liverpool game. It's on Wednesday. I thought it was, yeah. So Arsenal and Liverpool both have the opportunity to move 4 points ahead of Manchester City if they win their games this week. Arsenal versus Chelsea, Liverpool playing the Merseyside derby at Goodison on Wednesday. The Man City play Brighton on Thursday. And as good as City are, I talked about it yesterday, and as well versed as they are of being in this position, teams will struggle a little bit, or can struggle a little bit, dealing with pressure when there is scoreboard pressure on them. And it's all Arsenal can Liverpool can do is put that pressure on Liverpool. So they need to win their games this week and then be able to sit back on Thursday, watch the events at the Amex, and hope that Brighton can do them a favour. But yeah, another big week coming up in the Premier League. A crazy day yesterday. Crazy day. VAR has robbed us of some big moments since it was introduced in football, certainly in this country, however many years ago it was introduced now. But I don't think anything comes close to what VAR denied football yesterday with that injury time goal at the end of extra time for Coventry being ruled out for offside. 3-0 down Coventry from the Championship were to United at Wembley with 20 minutes to go, and they came back to 3-3. And then in the last seconds of extra time, they thought they'd won it. Brilliant finish, mental, crazy celebrations, you know, a real iconic moment that was going to go down in football folklore that would have been shown for years and years to come. And it was ruled out by VAR for offside. I mean, it was offside, judging by these lines that you have to trust are correct. And the technology is correct. So it's the correct decision. You know, I'm not saying anything about that and saying, oh, it should have been allowed or anything like that. If it's offside, it's offside. But it's such a shame. I mean, I can't even imagine the highs that everyone involved with Coventry were feeling in the celebrations of that goal, from the fans, from the players, the management staff, you know, thinking you'd won it and done one of the greatest comebacks ever in football history in this country, only to suddenly be denied it by technology and then have to sort of pick yourselves up and go for a penalty shootout, which they understandably lost after that. It was such a shame. I felt so, so sorry for them. And I can't think anything comes close when it comes to VAR denying a moment of that sort of magnitude. Obviously, there was a Champions League game between Man City and Spurs a few years back when Aguero thought he'd scored to send Man City through in injury time in that game, and then it got ruled out for offside, and obviously Spurs went through to the semi-finals instead. I mean, it was a big moment, but that doesn't, in my mind, come close to this. I mean, this would have been shown for years and years to come. It was an absolute FA Cup classic moment that was denied, and yeah, I felt very, very sorry for him. But again, it was, if it's offside, it's offside, I suppose. So you can't, you know, the decision was right. If it happened at the other end, no one would have been moaning had Man United thought they'd scored, only for it to be ruled out. Everyone would have been laughing. So, you know, the decision is right at the end of the day, but I did feel really, really sorry. Honestly, Anthony, did you see him afterwards in the penalty shootout? Didn't even have he didn't even have the balls to take one, did he? He didn't take a penalty, Anthony, out of five against Coventry. And yet, when they won the shootout, he ran off cupping his ears to the Coventry players, the Championship team who just basically pushed United all the way. It's not a great look. It's really not a great look. But hey, it's Anthony. And then this, I mean, what a mental day, what a crazy day when it comes to VAR and football. If you've seen it, the Nottingham Forest tweet, this is a genuine tweet from a club official account from Nottingham Forest. It was one of those instances when I saw it flash up on my timeline, I thought, this can't be real. And, you know, I had to check and go and double check the account and make sure it was the official account. Three extremely poor decisions, they say. This was after the Everton game when Forrest had three penalty appeals turned down. Three extremely poor decisions, three penalties not given, which he simply cannot accept. We warned the PGMOL that the VAR is a Luton fan before the game, but they didn't change him. Our patience has been tested multiple times. NFC will now consider this option. 38.3 million views that tweet had by the time I pulled it up for this show. Oh, it's a terrible look. It's whatever way you look at it. And I know all fans think everything's corrupt and PGMOL is corrupt and all that. And I'm not going to get into it because I simply don't believe it. And I know a lot of you will be annoyed by that, but I just don't. I do not believe there's corruption in it. I just think there's terrible officiating in it. And that's where this comes from. And so fans of all clubs think it's all working against them. But for a club official account to go this far and to say that the VAR is a Luton fan, and it's just not a great look. It's clearly come from the owners. You know, it's very, very obvious. I feel sorry for the Nottingham Forest communications team who would have had to sort of hand over the Twitter account for this tweet. And they would have known the storm that it was going to create. And I know, but a lot of people have seen it saying, you know, we should be standing with Forest in this because how bad PGMOL is and all that sort of stuff, which in a way I can kind of get, but I just think this is going too far in it to, you know, I mean, this is, you're libeling someone here, basically, pretty much. You know, you're absolutely saying that decisions have been taken because someone's a fan, so you're calling their integrity directly into account here. So it's potentially libelous. It's just not a good look for a club official account, I have to say, but it's just, it's absolutely mad. I'd love to get all your thoughts on it, so let me know in the comments below. And just moving on before we wrap this up today, Andrew says, hi, Charles. I think Trossard's shot on goal was entirely intentional. This, of course, was talking about his goal against Wolves at the weekend. Though by nature of the shot, a touch fortunate. He was aware that he was being closed down quickly and just had to get his toe to it. There wasn't any time for a more elegant, assured shot at goal. Yeah, I think that sums it up perfectly. You know, I don't think he meant the way it was to, you know, he was going to bend away perfectly into the top corner or anything like that. I think he just knew he was getting closed down. He had one split second to sort of take a swipe at the ball. We did it and it went in. So I think it's probably fortunate the way it went in and where it went in, but it was still a really good piece of finishing for a player. If you haven't read it yet, I retweeted it. Sam Dean at the Telegraph's done a really good piece on Trossard, talking about his importance, talking about his finishing quality and how important he is to Arsenal. And he's right. He talks about it. He says Trossard's averaging a goal every 136 minutes for Arsenal this season in all competitions. That's by some distance the best in the Arsenal squad. I think second's Bukayo Saka with just a goal every sort of 200 minutes, and that includes penalties. Without penalties, it's like 270 minutes, something like that. And it just shows the importance of Trossard. He really is. What a fantastic signing he's been. Such a bargain price as well in today's standards. So yeah, I think you're right with there, Andrew. And it's just great to see Trossard doing so well and continuously doing so well. What a great player he is. What a fantastic January signing he has been. And that's it from me, everyone. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it as always, whether you're watching or listening. I'll be back tomorrow to preview that Chelsea game. So like I said, you want to get involved in that show. You want to tell me what the starting 11 should be, who Mikel Arteta should be starting and why. Let me know in the comments below. Arteta is speaking later on today at his press conference at London Colney. It's been changed. It was due to be this morning. It's now going to be at 1:30 p.m. So keep your eyes peeled for all the latest from Mikel in that. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.